chapter 14. Not quite sure how this is going to go today. I know that sounds, I don't want to make you insecure as you're sitting here and sacrifice the time to come and listen and to be a part of the church service, but I have a lot in my spirit. I want you to realize I give a lot of time to the Word and a lot of time in preparation in what God wants us to minister. But can I share something with you today? I have no control over what the Holy Spirit wants to say sometimes. Amen? And many times you dictate that because, look, we're not here for me. Amen? If we were here for me, the service would be totally different. How many hears what I'm saying? You don't know what I mean, but that's all right. It would be totally different. I'm not here for me. I'm here because I'm your pastor. Amen? And so the thing of it is that the Holy Spirit's prepared a meal. He's cooked it for you. He's prepared some real food for your life. Right? And so I can't help you sit down at the table. You know, like Zechariah, you know, look, he, like I say, you can put his food group on one hand, okay? You know, he still believes that macaroni and cheese is a part of the five food groups, you know, that's in it. If it isn't macaroni and cheese or pizza, okay, chicken, but it has to be certain chicken and it has to be shaped a certain side with a certain breading on it, you know. I've tried to tell him, look, they're all the same, brother, okay? Just because they cut it doesn't make any difference. But how many knows is this, is that how many knows life doesn't work that way? And if we want to grow, then we have to be fed by what God does. How many knows that that's what we need this morning? Amen? So in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, if you're there, say amen. And look at the word this morning with me. He said, there is a way. Everybody say, there is a way. But I want you to know something. That way is not, look what it says. It says, there is a what? A way, not the way. Doesn't it? It says, there is a way. There is a difference between a way and the way. There is a difference between a way and the way. He said, there is a way. And how do we know if it's a difference between a way and the way? Well, it's very simple. Because if you're on a way, look what it says. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of that way is what? Death. Why? Well, because it's not the way, it's a way. And the problem that we face if we want, and we're talking about, we've been talking about fate versus faith. We've been talking about, is my life ruled by fate or is my life ruled by faith? If you're a believer today, your life is ruled by faith. We've already settled that. My life is a journey of faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. If you're walking by sight, you're walking by faith. How many hears what I'm saying? If you're walking by sight, you're walking by faith. That is, you believe that certain things are fated in your life. And there's nothing that you can do. All your decisions have already been pre-programmed and predestined, and you are there. But I want you to know something. Your life doesn't really. You can be predestined by the decision that you make. That is that you predetermine. And that's how it was. We were predetermined before we even came into this world. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of what Adam did, our life was predetermined for hell. But how many knows that that predetermination was changed because of what Christ did? And when Christ came and he died for us, he changed my predestination. He changed the destiny that was in my life. I had no hope. I had no chance. I was a foreigner and a stranger. But thanks be unto God and the mercy of God through his great love. He sent his only son to die for me to what? Change my destiny. Oh man, why aren't you excited? Man, that is awesome news. That my destiny has been changed. Hell is not my destiny. Now look, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't have an intimate relationship with him, if you've not been born again, then I can't help that predetermined life that you're living right now. But I can tell you, your life can change simply by another decision that you make for Jesus Christ. Amen? So, if it is our way, He said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. And then if you look here in Proverbs chapter 3, just flip over there a few chapters. Go backwards a little bit in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. And then I'm going to jump over to 1 Samuel, and we're just going to see what God's going to give us this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, look what it says here. Now, we just got done here in Proverbs 14. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, amen, the end thereof is death. How many wants to walk a path of death? I don't want to walk a path of death, amen. Look here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. I'm reading to you out of the NIV today. He says, in all your ways, everybody say, in all my ways. In all my ways, not a way. In all your ways. As long as you remain in your ways, there is a difference here, is this. He said, in all your ways, submit to him. Who's him that he's talking about? He's not talking about ourselves. He's talking about submitting to God. Submit to God. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will what? Direct your paths. Look, if we are not submitting to God, that means that we're submitting to something else. If you'll jump over just real quick to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Not the immediate direction I was going to go. Romans in the New Testament, isn't it? Anybody know what book it's after? In Romans chapter 6, look here. I know where Romans is. It's after Hebrews. Romans chapter 6, look. He says here, knowing this, in verse 6, chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. How are we going to serve sin? Because the body of sin's not been destroyed. Look to somebody and say, the reason why we sin is because the body of sin hasn't been destroyed. See, whatever lives in your life is going to rule your life. If you haven't destroyed the body of sin in your life, that body of sin is there. Well, Pastor, can somebody be saved and still sin? Of course they can. And the reason why we sin is because the body of sin, or the thing that rules in your life, that thing that has not died in you, will rule in you. That's why you cannot control your thought patterns. That's why you cannot control your decisions. Your decisions are either based out of your soul. Everybody say your soul. Because everybody's decisions are based out of your soul, which is your intellect, your will, and your emotion realm. So you are making your decisions out of your intelligence. Everybody say intelligence. And your intelligence is made up of your experience and of the knowledge that you have learned either through others or through yourself. So you are making decisions out of your soul realm, which is your intellect, your will. Your will is that place that decides, is the deciding factor of whether you go to the left or to the right. Your will plays in a massive, important place in your life. That is, unless your will has been submitted to God. If your will has not been submitted to God, then what happens is out of that place is the next one that we're going to talk about. Your intellect, your will, and your, everybody say emotions. Come on. Someone help me today. I know this is real simple stuff. This is basic 101 Jesus Christ stuff, but it's good stuff. Amen? Because I want to show you something today. Look, if you're making decisions out of your intellect, your will, and your emotions, if your emotions have not been renewed, if your emotions have not been transformed, if your emotions have not been renewed by the power of God, let me share with you is this. You're either making emotional decisions that are based out of your fears, your anxieties, your past. Why? Because those emotions have got a hold of you. That's why the certain people are able to elicit or give things out of you that others can't. Oh, you aren't helping me this morning. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm saying there are some people who know how to flip your switch. Amen? There are people who can come along. There are some people who can come along and you're like, whatever. But there are other people who can come along and you can be fine, and they can come into your life and make you do the dumbest, craziest stuff. How many have had people like that in your life? Amen. Your life is fine, and then the crazy one comes along. You know they're crazy. You know they are not right in their own mind. You know that they cause you to do things that you don't want to do. Oh, this is good pastoral preaching this morning. Amen? You say, well, why, Pastor? Well, look here in verse, let's go down here just a little bit further. And look what he says here. In verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So how can I be free? How can I be free? Come on, look at your Bible. What does it say there? For he that is... Well, if you're dead, if you're laying in the casket, are you sinning? Hello? I mean, when you're finally dead, are you going to struggle with lust and anger and hatefulness and gossip? When you're dead, you're what? You're dead. Amen? And then everybody standing over your casket is telling you, oh man, they were a real hater. They remember all the decisions that you made that were bad decisions. Amen? And then you got the perverted people who think you never did anything wrong, right? I'm going to have a recording. Amen? I'm going to have a little camera in my casket. When people come by, it's going to be a little recorder. So in the life to come, I can play those through and entertain myself and hear what people say about me when I'm dead. So just know that when you're coming by, be careful what you're saying when you pass by my casket. Amen? But I want you to hear me today is that we are freed when we are dead to sin. Well, Pastor, why is it that I am struggling? I can tell you why. It's not your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit, man, is made perfect. Why? Because God is perfect. His spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And God is perfect. There's no sin in him. There is no darkness in him. God is light. God is love. There's nothing wrong with God. And his spirit that abides within you is there in you, and there's nothing wrong. But your spirit is not the problem. Your problem is in your soul. Amen? Your problem is in your soul. Your problem is in your intellect, knowledge that you've got, that you've held on to, thinking that it's the knowledge. Amen? Knowledge that you've held on to, whether it's religion or whether it's some church that we came to, because we can look, how many has ever went to a church and judged when you sat there? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many ever goes to church and judge? I just want you to sit there. We all do. Oh, don't get all self-righteous on me right now. Oh, Pastor, I don't. I go and I just give myself. No, we don't. We look around and we go like, well, they don't worship like we do. And that preacher, I mean, he's really not that good. And is that really the Bible? And I don't like the way they dress. And I don't like the color of those chairs. And I think it's too cold in here. I think it's too hot in here. The music's too loud. Well, that's not judging, Pastor. That's just observation. No, those are observations based out of a bias or knowledge that you have on the inside. How many hears what I'm saying? But see, dead men don't judge. Dead men don't sin. Dead men aren't frustrated. Dead men don't have anxiety. Dead men don't fear. Dead men don't. And what God wants to say to you is this, is that if you haven't died to your sin, that's why you keep living under your sin. The reason why you live in fear, the reason why you're living in anxiety, is because you haven't died to that thing. Why? Because you keep serving that thing. There's got to come a moment, a time in your life, to where you say to yourself, this is the last day that you're going to serve my life. This is the last day I'm going to be a servant unto this thing in my life. And I died to it now. Why? Because I've decided to commit my ways unto the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, I've got to commit my ways. That word commit there is a strong word. Amen? The Bible even has a word, I don't even know if many of you know this, that the Bible says if you make a vow, even if it's to your own hurt, you keep the vow. Oh, Pastor, you don't say that in the Bible. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Amen? See, commit means this. Commit says, I lose myself. It's a covenant term. See? It's a covenant term. That's why that they used to cut and each other and do it. That person is saying is, look, I sacrifice a part of me and I mingle with your blood. Your blood becomes a part of my blood. And what I commit this. I commit that I am not going to serve myself. To have real covenant, you have to say this. I have decided to serve you. You know the greatest form of commitment ever made? It was Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. That was the greatest commitment because Jesus said, look, I'm not here to serve myself. I'm here to serve humanity, and I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. That's real commitment. That's real commitment. Commitment is that I'm dying to myself. So let's look a little bit further here in the book of Romans. Is anybody enjoying this? In the book of Romans, right there in 6, come on down with me here. In verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth dead, the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now look at verse 11, because he's going to give us some real important keys here. He said, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be what? Reckon, what does that mean? That means accounted. That means I already have. See, the problem is that most people get saved, and what happens is nobody told them is, look. See, here's what we want to happen. We want to live free from sin without any decisions on our part. I'll say that again. I'll preach to Rick because I think he's right there with me right now. So if I'm looking up, I'm not looking up to God. I'm looking up to Rick here. See, that word commit there means simply that for me to live, I'm going to have to die to myself. But what many people don't realize, that the secret to overcoming sin is you have to decide. Everybody say it. I have to decide. That's why you have a free will. See, there's no magic pill. Nobody comes along and waves a magic wand over you and say, poof, abracadabra, Shane is now free from any temptation. And so Shane wakes up the next morning. He's, I don't even want to sin. I can't even think about sin. Well, we know that's not true because he's talking about it. So he's not in a realistic place, is he? Because the truth of the matter is, it's not that God doesn't take away the temptation. What God does, it takes away your ability. He gives you the power which you didn't have before. He gives you the power and the ability. And he says, you now have a new master. You now have a new Lord. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to empower you and give you the strength. But you're going to have to come along and you're going to have to agree with me. How many has ever raised a 2-year-old? Amen? Let's go somewhere.
No.
Let's go this way. No, I'm going to go that way. Why? Because the will has not yet submitted. The will is not there. So what you have to bring that child to a place that it will agree with you. That's why some of you are struggling with the ability to find agreement, because there's still that 2-year-old on the inside of you that wants to go this way because you have not committed your way unto the Lord. And until you commit your ways unto the Lord, then what's going to happen? You're still going to go to the right or to the left, but you're not going to go the way that He has ordained for you. He said, commit yourself. He said, look, because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. See, there is a way and there is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, Jesus is the way. If you want to go your way, that means you have to go a way that is designed so that you can say, look, it's my way, not God's way. How many hears it? Look with me just a little bit further. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead. Think about it today. See, this is an act of faith on our part. Reckon yourselves also to be dead, indeed, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So how does sin reign? How does sin reign? Well, look what it says here. Sin reigns in my body because I still think what? That I'm alive unto sin. Amen? Look, that little stray cat that keeps coming to your house and you give it milk and tuna. It's all right until 2 o'clock in the morning and it's meow, meow. Well, why is it screaming out? Well, it's because you fed it. Amen? It doesn't have your time clock. It doesn't have your schedule on it. I can only scream and yell for food at between 6 and 7 a.m. in the morning when they are awake. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, that kitty cat is hungry. And I want you to know something. Sin is the same way. Sin doesn't have a convenient time clock. It screams out in the most inconvenient places. The only way you're going to stop it in your life is you're going to have to starve that thing. You're going to have to start saying no to that thing. You're going to have to start saying no to the people, places, and things that enhance and that bring about the disease in your life. You have to be accountable to somebody in your life, because the more that you serve that thing, the more it's going to rule your life. Whether that be lust, whether that be hate, or whether that be gossip, or whether that be jealousy, you're going to have to begin to say no to that thing, because as long as it lives, it's going to rule in your life. This is good preaching, man. Amen. He said in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. In verse 13, now look, here is the key right here. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have what? Dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. That means that you have the power and the ability to be able to overcome sin. Sin is not just about being saying no. God didn't just leave you alone. God didn't leave you by yourself. A lot of people say, well, man, I can't be a Christian because I can't. I don't know if I can live it. It's not about you living it. It's Him in you, living it through you, and by you coming into agreement and yielding yourself to Jesus Christ and saying, look, I want to live this life. Show me how. I don't know who it was last night. Was it Gabby? Just got her license? Who just got their license? Was it Gabby? Right? I can't see. I don't have my glasses on. You look blurry right now. But you know what? She said something last night I thought was interesting. She said, but I haven't been on my own yet. I haven't gone anywhere by myself yet. Now, in her mind, she has. Haven't you? You seen it in your mind driving by yourself? Have you seen that yet, Gabby? Sure you have. Sure, you see that in your mind. But then you think, ooh, by myself, going down 421, headed to Winston, I'm going to the mall. Amen? Your hand has a hold of the wheel and it's got a death grip on it. I'm by myself. There's nobody here. I am by myself. But you know what she is? She's committed. She first had to go get her license. She first had to make a decision that she wanted to drive. She wanted to be independent, but she had to commit to that thing. So here she is committed. It's easy if all she stays and somebody's always with her and turn here, do this, don't do that, don't do this. But there's a time that comes to where she has to get behind the wheel and she's got to drive, but she's got to be committed to what she's doing. Are you hearing me? It's not saying that there won't be reluctance, but she's empowered. She has knowledge. It's there. Well, folks, this is more than riding a car. This is about whether that we allow ourselves and yield to the commitment. Yielding is committing your ways unto Him. Here's the word yield. The word yield is, and I found there's a lot of people here in North Carolina does not understand this word. Amen? Yield doesn't mean who gets there first gets to go. The word yield doesn't mean because you're going slow and you're getting on my nerves, I get to go first. That's not what the word yield means. If the sign is pointing towards you and it says yield, that means you have got to stop. And you have got to wait so that I can have preeminence. So I can have the right of way. Can I tell you something, folks? If you've committed your way unto God, that means you've yielded to Him and you're letting Him have His way. You've committed your way to His way. Because as long as it's your way, as long as it's a way, your life, your decisions, then guess what? Then you're always going to suffer. In the context of this, is that destruction's always going to follow because things are not working out the way you want them to work out. But to commit your ways unto God and yield yourself as instruments of righteousness, God then can use you in the form and the fashion. Look, it doesn't mean that life's going to be all peachy and that life's going to be all great. But now what you have is you have somebody who's going to come alongside and who's going to say, I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to live. I'm going to show you how to overcome. I'm going to show you how to have peace in your life. Amen? Committing your ways unto Him. Amen. Let me finish this out. He says this. Then, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? No, man, come on, be serious here. Grace doesn't, it's not a get out of jail free card. Grace is not given so that I can sin and always know I got forgiveness. Hello? How many's with me today? If you can't say amen, just shake your head up and down. Yeah? That's right, Pastor. Amen? See, can I tell you? You know what the word amen means? I commit to the word that you're preaching. That's what amen means. It means so be it. It's committed. The word is committed that you're preaching. And the word is there. And let me tell you something. The one thing that I say here and I have for almost 4 years is the way the enemy tramps us is to where that we can be silent. To where that our words, it's called the disease of the silence of the lambs. It is that thing that keeps us silent without being able to commit to the word. Because if I don't commit to it, I don't have to do it. Amen? That's when, you know, we got, they're not here, but we got, you know, they call them tweenies. They're not quite teenagers. And you know, it's, you tell them to do something, and then there's silence. You hear their footsteps. Now, can you imagine anybody not hearing me? I mean, seriously. Come on, raise your hand. How many people here, unless you have, are hearing impaired, if I say, come here! How many didn't hear that? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? And so in their mind, they're thinking, I've got an out here. What's their out? Well, their out is, well, I didn't hear you. I was busy. Really? You were busy. Let me share with you what a rule of thumb that we had raising our kids. It's not my responsibility for you to hear me. It's your responsibility to hear me. It's not my responsibility to keep shouting until you hear. Your responsibility is be in a place to where you can hear. Be in a place to where you can commit to my voice. Look, you want to know how it is to be able to lead a successful life as a Christian. That is committing your ways. That is, and if you're committed to my life as a father, that is what I taught my children. If you're committed to it, is this. You can be in the midst of a crowd. There can be everybody who's screaming and yelling. But if I say your name, you're going to hear my words. Why? Because I'm your dad. My voice rises above everyone else's voices. Why? Because there's no one in that crowd that loves you like I love you. No one has prayed for you. Why? Because in the middle of the night, my prayers have went out for your life. And they're in your spirit. So when I speak as a father, you will hear me. How? Because you've committed to me as your daddy. That's why Jesus said these words. My voice will you hear, and you will follow no other. Is that what Jesus said? Well, how could he mean that? Just what I told you. Because you are my sheep. I have bought you with a price. You are not your own. Some people rebel against that. Now, man, here's the point. The point is your life was without hope. Your life was out. And so we continue to live a life that is not committed to the Father. Our ways are not fully committed. So when the Father comes and he speaks to us, we're unclear. That's how we get people who say all the time, well, Pastor, what is the will of God for my life? And how do I know that I'm hearing the voice of God? I go back again. Commit all of your ways. Make a covenant with God. Not a partial covenant. Not a covenant of convenience. Not a covenant of flesh. But a covenant of blood. A covenant that says, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, and I commit my whole life to you. There's a difference. And God showed me this in my life. This is why a lot of men struggle in their relationship, because they struggle, and not just men, there are women too, that struggle with lust. Why is there lust? Well, I can tell you why. Because there is lust because you're not committed to the relationship. If you're committed to the relationship, don't get mad. I'm trying to help you here. Amen? The reason why that we can't move past is because we've not committed to the relationship. If we have not committed and made a covenant in the relationship, in that relationship, I say to you, you are mine, I am yours, there can be no one else. That's why Jesus said that in the law says if a man commits adultery, he is stoned to death. But see, Jesus said, that's changed. He said, even if a man lusteth in his, heart, he is guilty. Say, what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is this, is that you have to bring yourself to a covenant relationship to where there is no one else besides the Lord. Committing all our ways unto the Lord is what we're looking at here. I'm finishing. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law. The law was able to convict and tell me about it, but it couldn't free me from it. See, that's the difference between the law and that's the difference between grace. The law told me that I'm an adulterer, that I have lust, but it couldn't free me from it. Couldn't cleanse my conscience. See, all the law did was condemn me. You are. You're bad. You aren't. But it took grace to come along and say, but here's the answer. I can free you from that body of sin. Amen? Verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to, his servants ye are to whom you obey.
whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So what's the difference? The difference is simply this, is that I have conditioned. That's why he calls us disciples. See, you're not going to overcome sin unless you become a disciplined one. You have to discipline your mind. You have to discipline the way you think. You have to discipline how you think and how you think about it. That comes only because of the Word of God becoming preeminent in our life. Look, there is no easy solutions. You can be free today and be happy today, but next week you can be as miserable as mud. Because your life's not based upon the Word. Your soul, your intellect, your emotion, your will realm is still out of control. It's still haywired. It still has not been disciplined. It has not been under control. So no matter what the crisis, what the situation comes, if I've yielded myself as an instrument of righteousness, then what rules me is the righteousness of God on the inside of me. That I have a comfort of knowing that no matter what is happening in my life, He is in control of my life. My life may look like a mess on the outside, but Jesus is Lord on the inside. And let me share something with you today. If He's Lord on the inside, it doesn't make any difference what's going on the outside. Because He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. He'll get you through it. Amen? It doesn't matter what hell that you're walking through. Just realize this. Don't stay in hell. Do you know there's a reason why they didn't build houses in the desert? Because the desert is no place to build a house. It was only temporary. I don't want to build anything anywhere if it's only temporary. Amen? How many want to build a house? How many want to be the house of God? That's what He calls you. He calls you the temple. He calls you the permanent dwelling place of His presence. If that is the case, that means that God is looking to do a permanent work in your life. If God has made that commitment to you, my question to you is this. Why can't we make that commitment to Him? You say, Pastor, this sounds like a message to unbelievers. It sounds like a message, to other people. I mean, I've been saved for a long time. I'm a mature believer. See, the point of it is, the Holy Spirit seems to be saying that, is there areas of our life that we've not committed unto God? Is there an area of our life that we've not fully committed unto God? See, the church has got to come alive to who Jesus is. Because if we're not, as we look into this world right now, it's pretty disturbing. If you saw the debate the other night, highly competent people. But that's a lot of dumb on one stage, I can tell you that right now. And there is nobody up there that I would have the full confidence because I don't know them personally. But see, here's the point. And Karen said something that was really significant. She says, we're not a Christian nation anymore. And I could tell that went down a little hard to some folks. But here's what she means. 200 years ago, we were a Christian nation. Come on, stay with me. 200 years ago, we were a Christian nation. But darling, if you think we're a Christian nation now, you are sadly deceived. Amen. We still have what do the Indians call the sects? The different steps, you have different levels in society. Classes, thank you. And we think, well, we're living in America, it's been 200 years, but how many knows? The class system is still here. And there are people out there who are trying to separate us for their own agenda and for their own purpose. There's only one thing that makes us common. that has us in common, and that is Jesus Christ. If we think we're going to find justice in those one of those 12 men that was on that stage, you are sadly mistaken. The only thing that we can hope for is that we can get somebody who's in the office, who's not just for one person or one class of people, but that they will protect everyone's rights. That's why we're not in a Christian nation anymore. Because there was a time that the majority of people who were pouring into the government were Christian, but now we have Muslims who are paying into the government. We have homosexuals, and we have transgenders, and we have atheists who are paying into the government. And the church does need to be separate. And we're going to have to rule our own house. Judgment has to come to us first before we start pointing our finger to Mr. Obama and the White House and the senators and the state representatives. We're going to have to clean our own house. We're going to have to judge our own house. We've got to get our own house in order. If we don't have order here, if we don't have order here, and we don't have true government here, if we don't even know who Jesus Christ is, and we're still serving the body of sin that's out there, if we're still being governed by them. See, there's got to come a point, even in your lives, to where you're not governed even by the jobs and the places that you're employed. That you know that Jesus Christ is such Lord in your life that even if that job disappears tomorrow, that He will not forsake you and He will not leave you alone. And we have got to provide a culture within this church to where that every man, woman, boy, and girl knows that they are safe here, and that we as a body of Christ will surround one another, and that we will protect each other because we are brothers and sisters. We have not only committed our way to God, but we have committed our ways to one another. And until we do that, we're really not a church. We're just a group of people coming together. But I declare to you today, that's God's will and purpose, that we be a body of believers. A body of believers. Stand with me.